Quite obviously tonight my subject is the wheat and the tares. It's one of eight parables that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of in this chapter. And it's significant that this was the one that the disciples asked the Lord the interpretation of, because it's a very solemn portion and very solemn consequences, whether you and I are wheat or tares. Now, we're told that the farmer plants a field of wheat and expects a good harvest. I'm sure there's not a farmer in the land that when he sows his wheat, he sows the seed, that he's not looking forward to anticipation to the harvest time, that he'll reap a great harvest. However, while his servants sleep, an enemy enters the field and sows tares among the wheat. Now, tares are weeds. They're called bearded darnel. And in the early stages of development, you couldn't tell it from wheat. Just as it springs up from the ground, you couldn't distinguish the one from the other. When it is discovered that these are tares among the wheat, the servants offer to pull out the tares. Good intentions, no doubt. Just want to have the field full of wheat. But the master dissuades them from doing that, because he knows that in the process of taking up the tares, they're more than likely to pull up some of the wheat. And so we said, just leave it until the harvest. His counsel is, just let the both grow together. And in this world tonight, there's wheat and there's tares. There's the saved and there's the unsaved. And they're growing up together. And they're people, and they've no time for God or the things of God. And they seem to get on well in life. And they think there's no judgment at the end of the day. And then there's those, and they do really believe there's a God. But somehow or other, they'll get into heaven their way. They try to do the best they can, and they attend church, which is very good. They ought to do that. But they never come to Christ. And that's the important thing. That's the important thing. In explaining the parable, Jesus identifies those that are involved in the story. Verse 37, the sower is the Son of Man. That's Christ. And of course, he uses his preachers, his servants, his people to sow the word of God. And that's why we're here tonight. Not to teach man's wisdom or to teach a word from man, but just to preach God's word, to sow the good seed of the gospel of the grace of God. The wheat are those who are saved and on their way to heaven. The tares are the unsaved. And just like the tares that are taken out at the harvest and they're gathered into bundles and burned, so at the end of the world, the angels of the Lord will be sent into the harvest, and he'll take out those that offend and those who have never been to Christ, and they'll be cast into hell, into everlasting torments. The thing about the tares and the wheat is they look the same. And, you know, I can look down upon the congregation tonight, and I would know some of the folks here, others I don't know. But if I didn't know anybody personally tonight, I couldn't tell who's saved and who's not saved. And we look in this world and people come to church and all the rest of it, and it's hard to know sometimes, isn't it? But the Lord knows. Because man looketh in outward appearance, but the Lord looketh into the heart. It's a solemn word tonight, and it's not my intention tonight to put doubt upon anyone's salvation. Far from it. But the situation is so grave tonight that we need to make sure that we are wheat and not tares. Remember the exhortation that Paul gave to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Examine yourselves, whether it be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And Peter makes a similar appeal in 2 Peter 1 and 10, to make our calling and election sure. Just to be absolutely sure that we're in Christ That's the vital thing tonight. Doesn't matter what else we might be in. We might be in a great business. We might be in a great lodge. We might be in a great committee. We might belong to a great organization. But the most important thing is that we're in Christ. Are we in Christ tonight? That's the question. Are we wheat? Are we tares? Are we saved? Are we unsaved? Now, the truth is that there are people like the tares. And just as they begin to break through the ground, you couldn't tell them from the wheat. And there are people tonight, and some are in our churches. And certainly we always advocate and encourage people to come to church. And they look like wheat, maybe. And certainly they think they're wheat. But they're tares. And wouldn't it be a tragedy for anyone in this meeting to live their lives thinking that they're saved, that they're wheat, and all the time they're tares, they're not saved? Isn't it a terrible thing to go through life and then at the judgment to discover that the Lord doesn't say to you, "Well done, and thou good and faithful servant, enter into thou the joy of the Lord," but "Depart from me, I never knew you." And you know, there's a form of teaching going abroad today that you don't really know whether you're saved or not until you stand before the Lord. Well, I tell you, men and women, tonight, it's too late then. And you can know, dead on sure tonight, whether you're wheat or tares, saved or lost. And it is our desire tonight, in the preaching of the word, that you might be sure that tonight that you're among the wheat that will be gathered into the barn of heaven and enjoy everlasting bliss. We want to notice some things about the wheat and the tare. First of all, both were planted together. Both shared the same experience of being planted. And the difference is seen in two ways. Every one of us are born into this world. And we're born in the world the same way. But there's characters. Notice the character of the seed. The wheat, it indicates the genuine believer who has his trust in the God of heaven through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the gospel of his grace. The genuine believer trusts only in the one that the Bible tells us is the only Savior of sinners. That's what Paul preached before the Sanhedrin. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." In Isaiah 42:25 it says, or 45:22, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and besides me there's none else." And so the wheat tonight, the saved person, is the person who has realized his sinnership and has confessed that sin and repented and trusted in Christ as their personal Savior. Now, we're told tonight that there's many ways of salvation. And I can remember a young woman who then had been a pilgrim, and she was serving in North Antrim, and she went to a minister one time to ascertain the possibility of getting the church hall to conduct a gospel mission. And he gave his permission, all right, but he said, "You know, young lady," he said, "salvation's like a mountain, and we're all climbing up different ways, but we all reach the one point." In other words, it doesn't really matter what you believe. You could be a Christian, you could be a Hindu, you could be whatever, but we're all going to arrive at the one place. The Bible doesn't tell me that. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved." The tares, on the other hand, they're trusting in any number of things for their salvation: good works, doing the best they can, religiosity. And how many have been told that that's all they have to do? Do the best you can. Well, I tell you, Calvary's a travesty if that's all we have to do to get to heaven. That God sent his only begotten Son into this world in the form of man, yet without sin, and sent him to a cross, and sent him into an open shame, and there to be crucified on the cross. That's a travesty if all you and I have to do to get to heaven is do the best we can. But remember, the Bible says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. Filthy rags. And that's the very best you can do. As filthy rags. There's only one work, and that's the work of Christ on the cross. Tell me, where's your faith tonight? Doing the best you can? Church attendance, religiosity? Or is it in Christ? Are you looking beyond self? Looking beyond the church? Thank God for the Free Presbyterian Church. But I tell you, it can't save you tonight. Only Jesus saves. And we need to look to him. And never let anyone tell you that you're right with God, that you're a Christian, if you haven't personally a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation comes to a person when they've been convicted of their sin and genuinely repented. And my friend, tonight you couldn't be convicted of your sin and not know it. And not know it. Personally, I know the time that when I was under conviction of sin, I mean, I was going through life very well, thank you very much. I was enjoying the things of the world, as I thought. And then these things began to become really, I didn't really like them anymore. I was convicted of the cigarettes. I was convicted of the drink. I was convicted of going to places I shouldn't have been. And I was upset, and I didn't really know what was wrong with me until I heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, conviction is a sore thing, but I tell you, it's a blessed thing, because without it, we can't be saved. You will not go to the doctor unless you know there's something wrong with you. You might have an incurable disease and not know it, and you wouldn't think about going to the doctor. I've never been to the doctor in my life. I'm not going to go now. And you're feeling well, and all the time there's something there that needs attention. But if you know there's something there, there's something not right, you'll go to the doctor. And it's only when the Spirit of the Lord convicts us of our sin, shows us as we are, not as we think we are, but as God sees us. Remember in Hannah's prayer, and she prayed to the Lord, and she described herself as just been lifted from the dunghill of sin. And that's what we are before God. Have we been convicted of our sin? Have we repented and confessed it before God? You'll notice the character of the sower of the good seed, was the owner of the field, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the field isn't the church. The field is the world. And the Lord owns the world because the Lord created the heavens and the earth. It's all his. And all creatures he owns. Now, they're not his children. We're all his creation. And that is why man is exhorted to worship God. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, because God created us. But we only become his children when we put our faith and trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The tear, and we said earlier, the sower of the good seed is the Lord, but he does that through his servants, through the Sunday school teacher, the personal worker, some in the factory or the office, the preacher in the pulpit, sowing the seed. And that's what the Lord's people should be occupied in, seed sowers. And the Lord will bless the word. The tares were sown by the enemy. And the enemy, of course, was Satan. Why did the enemy do this? Well, it was an effort to ruin the crop. Sow the tares. And if the servants had it of the way in trying to take out the tares, they'd have ruined the crop. But the good man, he had sense and said, no, just let them grow together. And the devil's ploy is to destroy the people of God, is to make us ineffective in his service. And his many ways of doing that. His business is trying to undo all that the Lord has done and is going to do. He seeks to destroy the wheat with the tares. And you know the tares, if you have tares and wheat in the church, you have a problem. Remember when Israel came out of Egypt and it said there was a mixed multitude come out with them. Mixed multitude. And you know when things began to go hard, who was the first to complain and murmur? It was the mixed multitude. And they stirred up the people of Israel. and caused them to rebel against the Lord. And why? Because the lost, the tares, can only imitate the genuine believer for so long. And just as those tares start to grow up, couldn't tell them from the difference from the wheat, but when they develop and mature, then you will see the difference. And sometimes people can be in a church or assembly and they seem to be doing so well, and then you can only keep it up for so long, isn't that right? And then the true nature comes forth and is revealed. Both were sown, both progressed together. We notice the activity of the tares. There was all the activity of the wheat. The tares grew as well as the wheat. They did everything that the wheat was doing. You see, in the early months of growth, there's nothing to tell the difference between the wheat and the tares. It's the same with the child of God and those that are not saved. And there's a lot of religious sinners. And it's a tragedy because some of them are in churches and they're not hearing the gospel. And they think that they're all right. And, you know, they can be in the church the same as the same saved person. Sit under the preaching of the word, thinking that they're saved. The genuine Christian can memorize verses of Scripture. So can the unsaved. I can remember learning verses of Scripture as a child who wasn't saved. And some of those memory verses I can remember today. But I wasn't saved. They can attend prayer meetings. There's a wee lady in one of my former churches. Never would miss a prayer meeting. Never would miss a Sunday service. And if truth was been told, she was a better attender than some of those that are wheat, are genuine believers. But she's not saved. She's not saved. Attend the prayer meeting. I know a brother that attended our Korean church, attended the prayer meeting for a long time. And then one night after the preaching of the word in the prayer meeting, he came to Christ. Sing in the choir, sit at the Lord's table. Did it myself for years. Told when I was 15 years of age that when the bishop laid hands upon me that I was now a child of God, an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. Sat at the Lord's table, sang in the choir. It wasn't that I was a good singer just to fill a gap. But we see, you can do all those things. And the Lord reminds us that many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Lord, we have spoken in thy name. Lord, we preached in the street. We've done mighty works, Lord. And when you think of that, we did mighty works in the name of the Lord. And yet the Lord says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never remember you coming to me for salvation. And that's why it's a solemn word tonight, not seeking to put doubt upon anyone's salvation, but that we might make sure our calling and election sure. And then there was the appearance of wheat. As the tares grew alongside the wheat, they looked just like the wheat. It's just like the sheep and the goats, those eastern sheep and goats. You know, when they're just young and born, and you, especially if you look at them for a distance, you couldn't tell the difference. And that's the way with the wheat and the tares. Hard to tell the difference. Only the Lord really can tell those that are his. See, a person can dress right. He can talk the talk. He can give the appearance of being saved. And you know, many's the time we have to say that they're so-and-so. And if we didn't know out of their own mouth that they weren't saved, you know, you'd really think they were a Christian. They're straight up and down like the hands of the clock indicating 6 o'clock. They give 100 pence in the pound and they look like Christians. But they're not. They're not. But listen, with the tares, there was none of the abundance of the wheat. And this is where the similarities end. When they grow up and when they mature, it is then that you see the difference. And as I said earlier, tares, the unsaved, they can only keep up the appearance for a time. There is a vital difference. One thing that tares can't do, it cannot produce fruit. Can't produce fruit. Open the head of a ripened wheat, and there will be full, they'll be filled with wheat kernels. Open the head of a tare, and you'll find it filled with tiny black seeds that are useless. It cannot produce fruit. That's the indication of a child of God. It produces fruit. They indicate that they've been with Jesus by what? By their fruits shall ye know them. And so it is with the tares. They might give appearance of being good wheat, but when you get down to it, there is no fruit in their life. What do we mean by fruit? Well, the tares lack the things that make a genuine believer special. If you turn over to the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affection and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. But you see, the tear will not produce that fruit. The natural man, he can't even receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolish unto him. And a person might act like a Christian and dress like a Christian, but he will not have that desire to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Notice what the works of the flesh are, verse 19. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we need to make sure that we're in Christ, and if we're in Christ, we will produce fruit. Some will produce more, greater or more. The good seed that was sown in the four types of ground, some fell upon the wayside, some in thorny ground. But the seed that fell in the good ground, it didn't bring all the same amount. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. But will produce fruit. By their fruits ye shall know them. I remember one time one of our ministers was challenged about judging. And he was told that you're not supposed to judge. He says, that's right. But he says, we can be good fruit inspectors. Isn't that right? And the Lord Jesus exalts his people, let your light so shine that men and women might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be sure tonight that you're in Christ. Now, the farmer's response when asked about the removal of the tares. Now, you and I, as I said, we can't really tell the difference between the genuine and the false. But if we set ourselves up as judges and start trying to weed out those that we think maybe are tares, we're certainly going to pull up some of the wheat. And this is the tragedy sometimes in churches. There's things we have to leave with the Lord. And unless we get a direction from the Lord, we have to let it sit about people. But the Lord knows. And at the end of the day, when it comes to the judgment of each one, the wheat and the tares will be identified then. Notice the process, they were processed together. In verse 30, in the latter part of them, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns. The harvest day has arrived. Always does, isn't it? The farmer goes out in the springtime, he sows his wheat, his seed, he plants his potatoes, whatever. And he looks forward to the harvest because the harvest will come. Because God has promised it. While earth remains seed time and harvest, in some years it might be better than others, but there's a harvest. And what you and I sow, we shall also reap. And when the farmer goes out to sow wheat, he'll reap wheat. And he doesn't go out to sow tares and reap wheat. And he'll reap the nature of the seed that he sows. If he sows barley, he'll reap barley. If he sows wheat, he'll reap wheat. Now, the harvest day arrived, and men and women tonight, let me say, there is a judgment day coming. There's nothing more sure. As day follows night, that there's going to be a judgment day when all will stand before God, and those that are without Christ will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and he'll judge them, not to examine them, to see whether they can get into heaven or not. That judgment is already passed. If they've died without Christ, they were condemned already, but to pronounce the judgment, to depart from him. Now, how could they tell the difference now? When mature, the wheat, I'm not a farmer nor a cereal farmer, but I understand that when the wheat grows up and the heads are swelling with the grain, that the wheat head drops down like that. Now the tare, because they've no fruit and the seeds are black and they're light, they keep standing upright. And what does that picture? It pictures the Christian who's matured, and the older and the longer he gets in the road, he becomes more humble. Isn't that right? And more Christ-like. But the tare is proud and has no humility. And so they'll be identified. They'll be identified. The harvest will be gathered, both the wheat and the tares. There's no such thing as annihilation. What? Why would God say there's a harvest if there's going to be annihilation? The tares, verse 30, were burned. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I would say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. To burn them. And they burn in the lake of fire forever and forever. And the smoke of the torment ascendeth up forever and forever. But the wheat is barned. It's gathered into God's heavenly barn. It's kept for the farmer. He has no use for the tares. They're cast out and they're burned. The implications are clear. When this life has come to an end, then there's only two possible destinations for each one of us. Those who live and die as a tare will be lost forever, cast out, put into bundles as the illustration, and cast into the fire to be burned. Not to be destroyed, but to suffer hell for all eternity. Luke 16 tells us that. Rich man died and opened up his eyes in hell, being in torments. He had his memory. He had a missionary mind, because he wanted the Lord to send Lazarus to warn his five brethren that were still alive, to warn them of this terrible place. But Moses said, if they don't believe, or Abraham said, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, though one rose from the dead, they'll not believe them. And that shows us the authority of God's word. If they don't believe the word of God, they'll not believe though one rose from the dead. And it's a fearful thing. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. The Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. What does it mean to go to hell? It goes to eternal suffering. But it also means to go to that place where there's no love of God. There's no light of salvation. It's torments. And I've often said, and I certainly hold to physical torments in hell. But one of the torments I think that will afflict men and women in hell will be their memory. They'll remember that brother, maybe in Guildford Free Church, that they worked with and who often would invite them to the mission, would invite it to them service, or would give them a gospel tract, or encourage them to come to Christ, and they didn't do it. Or maybe they came to a gospel meeting and they were under conviction of sin as the preacher was preaching the word. And they felt that they felt their sin and the weight of it. But for some reason or someone, they went out of the meeting without Christ. And I think, you know, that torment, I was so near. If I just had a waited that night, if I hadn't listened to that ungodly companion, I might have been saved. I think that's a torment. Almost. Like Abner, who was at the gate of Hebron, one of the cities of refuge. He was just a step away from safety when he dallied and he allowed Joab to talk to him and was thrust through, and his blood was shed at the very gate of safety. What a tragedy for men and women to be convicted of their sin, to know the striving of the Spirit, and yet to say, go thy way. Remember Felix? Paul preached to him of temperance, of righteousness, and judgment to come. And it says, Felix trembled. And that word trembled means he was terrified. What a privilege. Faithful preacher of the word before him. Faithful to his soul. Faithful to the word of God. Spirit of the Lord moving in his heart, convicting him of his sin. Then was his day of visitation. But he turned around and said to Paul, go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. That word convenient means a more opportune time. Tell me, friend, what more opportune time did Felix want? What more opportune time do you want tonight under the preaching of the word? God speaking to your heart, God's people praying for you. You're just a step away from salvation. Tell me, are you going to trust in Christ tonight? You've come in a tear. You've come in lost. You can go out saved tonight. And you can go out on your way rejoicing. Don't you listen to the devil. The devil's cried. Try to tell you, if you get saved, you're going to be miserable. I tell you, you'll never know what real joy and happiness is until you come to Christ. And then at the end of the journey, who's laughing then? The tares that is bound together and burned, or the wheat that's gathered into God's garner. The saved that are to be with Christ for all eternity, where there's no more sickness nor sorrow, no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more death, for the former things will have passed away. Just perfect bliss. I can't describe it tonight, but it'll be wonderful when we get there, and then we'll experience it. But if you're a tare tonight and you remain in that condition, you might look like a Christian, you might dress like a Christian, you might even behave like a Christian, but if you're not saved, if you haven't that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're a tare, you're lost. But you can come tonight, you can come just as you are and pray, Lord, have mercy upon me, the sinner. That's what we need, mercy. And the Lord said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Make sure tonight, make dead on sure that you're saved. You know, I never go on a trip, and especially on an aeroplane trip, and I have my passport out, if I have it out a dozen times, I don't know how many times I have it out, in and out, in and out. I have my ticket out, in and out, in and out. Why? I don't want to miss that plane. I want to go where I want to go. And I'm making sure. Now, you and I are going on a trip one day, and we need to make sure where we're going. And I'm sure there's not one in the meeting tonight, and you want to be lost. You want to go to heaven. You come tonight just as a sinner to Christ and cry unto him for mercy. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those are the wheat tonight, the saved, trusting only in Christ. No merits of their own, no church, no denomination, just trusting Christ. Just trust in Christ as their Savior. And one day you'll hear those words of the Savior: "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Oh, we pray earnestly tonight that you'll come and trust in Christ as your Savior.